Welcome back to the Bryan Park Project from NPR News. We're always online at npr.org because, you know, they don't shut the internet. And given this property of said internet, it turns out that our producers have taken advantage by surfing all over the internet on company time, and they've come here to report on the most clicked on stories of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, the most.
Ian Chillag, what do you have to say for yourself this morning? Good morning.
This is a most emailed story from the Hartford Current. Am I saying that correctly? I've never actually.
Yes. Hartford. Okay. It's Hartford. Yes.
Hartford.
Okay. So the official state animal of Connecticut is the sperm whale. Mm-hmm. And in front of the Hartford Children's Museum, there's a giant ferro cement model, 60 feet tall, of a sperm whale, Connie the sperm whale.
Is that to actual size? Do you know?
I don't know. I kind of assume.
And they're not made of concrete. We know that.
No, that's actually true. Yes. So it's hard to swim, as many a mafia man knows. anyway, so you can climb inside this thing. The Hartford Museum, the Children's Museum, is going to be moving soon. And recently, a Facebook group started up, Save the Science Museum Whale. And, you know, this stuff, they're tearing down the whale. Please help me find a way to stop this disaster. You know, it got a lot of momentum. 2,400 people signed up for this group. A couple quotes from people who care about Connie the whale. Tearing it down would be destroying children's childhoods. Mm-hmm. Not cool on many levels. That's a teen from Northwest Catholic High School. Another from Farmington High School. Dude, I was the king of the world in that thing. I don't know what he did in there. Here's the thing. There's no plans to tear the thing down.
No.
This young woman heard a rumor that they were going to destroy Connie.
But usually the internet's good at stamping out that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They won't let rumors really take hold.
Yeah, Connie is safe.
So despite the Facebook page, Connie's not going anywhere. I suspect the work of Big Krill behind that.
Did this kid raise any money to save the whale? That's what I want to know.
No, actually, she intended to call the museum directly, ask about Connie. You know, really take some action, be on Facebook. Then she had track practice, schoolwork started up, so she kind of lost track of it. She never expected it to gain this much momentum. She thought just a few friends would join in.
Gotcha.
Someone has corrected the page, as I understand.
Gotcha.
Okay, I'm going to share with you one of the most emailed from the LA Times. This is a memorial to the co-founder of Baskin-Robbins 31 Flavors Ice Cream, we all know and love. His name is Irvine Robbins. He died at the age of 90. And some fun facts about this whole thing. He started Baskin-Robbins with his brother-in-law and partner, Burton Baskin. And
is an awesome name.
Burton Baskin, yeah. And they opened their first ice cream shop, well, Robbins did, in 1945 on his own, and then they merged later on. And, you know, they made a big deal out of inventing, now we take it for granted, Ben and Jerry's creates all kinds of crazy ice cream names, but these guys were really the first to do it. When Beatlemania struck the country in 64, a reporter asked Robbins what flavor he would use to salute the Fab Four, and on the spot, he's like, Beetle Nut, of course. I mean, the man, he's a genius.
Delicious with extra Ringo.
Exactly. Good, right. And some fun facts in this article. Among the flavors that never left the laboratory, ketchup, lox and bagels, and Grape Britain.
Yeah, probably for the best. I actually once ate squid ice cream.
Uh-huh.
And I asked for a taste of it. It was like the flavor of the week, and I asked for a taste of it. And I bit into it, and there's a chunk of frozen squid in it. And I was like, oh, my God, there's frozen squid in here. And they said, yeah, what did you think it was? And I was like, I don't know. I thought it was like candy.
Bubble gum.
Candy-shaped squid, squid or something. Yeah.
Well, let's take a moment to remember Mr. Robbins.
Okay, moment of silence here.
Ice cream success was a rocky road for Mr. Robbins. But he always maintained that the lean times, the mean times, eventually led to the pralines and cream times. And yes, by the time Robin celebrated his cherry jubilee, he had made a mint chocolate chip and 30 other flavors. But Robbins will best be remembered for rum raising the bar for ice cream flavors and ice cream names. Here comes the fudge, and there goes an ice cream visionary. We raise our cones to you.
A memorial by Mike Pascal.
My God.
Trisha.
I'll miss him.
Trisha,
I love basketball.
Pivot off of that.
What you got? Good thing we got tissues in here.
Yeah. Hey, let's just change it up a little. I'm going to talk about the number one Google trend this morning. The most searched term on Google when I checked it early this morning was Cynthia Rodriguez. That's the wife of A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez.
Mrs. A-Rod.
Would she be C-Rod?
Yeah,
she's C-Rod.
C-Rod.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, apparently she has spilled some beans about A-Rod. He's, you know, known as this big, powerful guy. And apparently, though, he was not so powerful and tough when his daughter was born. Apparently, he passed out in the delivery room and had to be revived by doctors and nurses who it sounds like, according to C-Rod, they were taking better care of him than they were of her. You know, hello, I'm over here on the table. hello. Anyway, so she gave an interview to the Yes Network, and that's going to air tonight. And apparently they leaked some salacious tidbits from it. And this was the number one search term on Google Trends.
Yankees internal network.
Dan Pashman.
Thank you.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
I've got two here for you. One is the most emailed from the San Diego Union Tribune, and this one's kind of been posted all over the place. Big, big drug bust at San Diego State University. 75 students arrested, a total of 96 people arrested. They found 2 kilograms of cocaine, 350 ecstasy pills, marijuana, psychedelic mushrooms, hash oil, methamphetamine, illicit prescription drugs, several guns, and at least $60,000 in cash.
Whoa.
They called it Operation Sudden Fall. Apparently some of the students are experiencing a sudden fall. And one of the things that's noteworthy about this article is just how brazen some of these students were in allegedly conducting these drug sales. One member of Theta Chi sent out a text message to his quote-unquote faithful customers stating that he and his associates couldn't sell cocaine while they were in Las Vegas over the weekend. But the text promoted a sale with reduced prices coming up.
There you go. And real quickly, you have one more.
I do. Another most emailed from Yahoo News, Golfing Baghdad's Green Zone, a course with real bunkers. The 9-hole Cross Swords golf course in Baghdad in the Green Zone was created by a British military officer. And it's basically, you talk about the greens in the golf course. Yep. Well, this is mostly browns.
Yeah.
A lot of dirt. And the cups are fashioned out of baked bean cans sunk into the ground.
Everybody's got to have fun somewhere.
I would just say, let the Mahdi army play through.
Matt, you have our last.
I do. I have one of the most viewed stories at NPR.org right now. It's a story/essay by NPR's Jamie Terabay, who just got back from Iraq as the bureau chief there in Baghdad. A little over a year ago, she had a brush with death while riding with Lieutenant Douglas McGregor in Iraq. And so she dropped by to visit him in Fort Hood, Texas. And here's her essay.
The first time I met McGregor was almost the last. I was scamming a ride in his Humvee. He was leading a supply convoy. We were headed to a military base in Diyala province. Along the way, soldiers defused 2 roadside bombs. Then, up ahead, a deserted road where the only bit of color was a large yellow trash can. The convoy keeps going. No one is hurt.
Have you been hit with an IED before?
No.
No?
That's the best guy.
That's the first one.
I've never gotten over that attack.
Well, normally we would stop for a close blast.
After, just the idea of going back to Diyala made my stomach turn. One of the things that made it easier was checking in with soldiers I'd met there, like McGregor. Now, on the other side of the world, I was looking forward to seeing him again, this time without the dust and filth and the meager rations.
They're further front, like right out here.
When I see McGregor, it's at his house in a quiet street in Killeen, 10 minutes from Fort Hood, where he's still posted. He's in civvies, and of all things, he's been gardening.
This was my project last weekend. I put in all the rock, the lighting, and planted some rose bushes.
That's cool. This is your gardening.
It's suburbia, and very different from the sandswept barracks of Forward Operating Base Normandy, where he was posted for 15 months.
Let's go in the front door. I've got to see how a 25-year-old soldier lives alone.
Everywhere, reminders of Iraq. In his office, an award on the wall from his unit, the Delta Force Support Company for the 6-9 Cavalry. In the kitchen hangs a sort of Kurdish good luck charm. There are lock boxes in his garage, still bearing the dust of Diyala. But there's also camping gear, fishing rods, and a dirt bike. He grew up with his family on a horse farm in Wilsonville, Oregon. McGregor has always told me how much he liked being outside. And when he got back from Iraq, he got himself a present. A brand new motorcycle.
It's a Ducati 1098S, red.
About 15 miles away is a lake with a hiking trail and a waterfall.
Yeah.
He comes here often with his brother Brian, who lives close by.
This is really beautiful.
Yeah, it's a good area. It's kind of nice down here.
Even I start to relax.
And there's some good hiking trails back here. But most of the time when we come by here, we're just on the motorcycle and we pass by and we go do laps around the lake.
We walk along the rickety bridge, pointing out different birds. But it's not long before our conversation turns to that village in Diyala.
Yeah, it was about 14 months ago when we went into Shakarat, and then it was pretty peaceful when we first got there, and then it just kind of blew up after that. And you came right about the time it was blown up.
There were IEDs everywhere. It was only my second day there when I got into that Humvee.
But see, for me, that was one time in how many months and, you know, years of being in Iraq. Mm-hmm. But for you, that happened practically every day.
Somebody got hit just about every day from our squadron. And my platoon, we did have a lot of IEDs detonate on our vehicles as we went by. Some of them caused damage, some of them were able to just keep on driving.
He says the first time he felt an IED was probably the worst, and the shock that followed.
Like the sounds, and just the feeling, and the sight of going from just perfect clear to dust and chaos.
Being in a war zone for 15 months gives you habits that make it difficult to adjust to normal life. A lot of soldiers say driving is the hardest thing. Some freak out about having other cars right next to them. In Iraq, that could only mean a suicide bomber. Others drive really slowly in case there are wires on the ground and they don't want to set off any remote bombs. McGregor says certain loud noises that sound too familiar still get to him. Getting to sleep, also a problem.
Better than when I first came back. I don't know if I would say I sleep great. I wake up a lot throughout the night.
He'll only have a little more time to rest. McGregor will soon go into training for Special Forces, an assignment that may take him back to Iraq.
How do you make a connection between what was then and what's going on with you now?
For me, I can't see the connection. I think that it's a completely different reality that they live over there in Iraq. Whether it's the Iraqi people or what we were doing or the soldiers that are over there right now. It's something that I look at and try to take advantage of. I try to go on a hike at least once a week. It's just enjoying life.
That's good advice for me, too.
And that was NPR's Jamie Tarabay reporting from Fort Hood, Texas. There are pictures of Lieutenant McGregor and Jamie on our website, and you can find links to all the stories you heard on The Most. Go to npr.org/Bryant Park.